Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to take this opportunity to thank you again for your excellent work and to also thank our experts for lending their expertise. I take the floor to elaborate on our position with regard to the duty of due regard, which is a principle that has been discussed repeatedly in at least two panels this week. The mandate of this session is to take stock of and clarify existing international law as they apply in outer space. This must be framed in the overall mandate of our group to help clarify and characterize what constitutes responsible behavior. The most relevant aspect of this is the exploration of relevant principles that are enshrined in the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, and UNIDIR has identified 9 of them in its working paper. For the Philippines, the most consequential principle in terms of determining responsible behavior is the duty of due regard. The clarification of the duty of due regard is therefore essential to the work of the OEWG. We therefore thank the experts that have shared their views regarding its applicability in the context of outer space. But we believe it is also important for states to offer their own understanding of this foundational principle with a view to finding commonalities that would lead to solid development of norms that will give this legal principle concrete expression. It is in this context that we have circulated a working paper entitled The Duty of Due Regard as a Foundational Principle of Responsible Behavior in Space. This document is now available on the UNODA website. This working paper traces the origin of the duty of due regard in the law of the sea. It is not our intention to apply the principles of the law of the sea verbatim to outer space, but we believe that consistency of international law demands that the application of due regard in outer space does not deviate significantly from its application in the context of the high seas. I believe this is a point that has also been made by some of our experts in the panel. We think that understanding the legislative history behind its codification, along with the development of norms through state practice and jurisprudence, provide useful guidance as we attempt to clarify it in the context of outer space. In this regard, we wish to highlight the following salient elements from our working paper. First, the legislative history of due regard in the law of the sea indicates that it represents a replacement of the former laissez-faire treatment that underpins the principle of mare liberum. This is reflected in the evolution of the principle from the more judicious language of reasonable regard in the 1958 Geneva Convention on the High Seas to the more normative and demandable duty of due regard in the 1982 UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, or UNCLOS. Similar to the evolution of norms on the use of the high seas, the enshrinement of the duty of due regard in the 1967 OST implies the same departure from a laissez-faire treatment of outer space towards a regime characterized by the accommodation of competing rights and interests. In the context of outer space, we believe that this should include the balancing of rights and interests involving two dimensions. First, between and among spacefaring nations, and second, between a spacefaring nation and the wider international community. Subsequent interpretations of the application of the duty of due regard arising from law of the sea jurisprudence could offer practical guidance in the context of clarifying the application of the same principle in outer space. The following ideas could be instructive. First, while the duty of due regard does not constitute a blanket limit on state conduct, it also does not permit states to merely note other states' rights and still do as they wish. Instead, its application depends upon the nature of the rights and duties involved, their importance, the extent of the anticipated impairment, the nature and importance of the activities contemplated, and the availability of alternative approaches. In most cases, and this is the second point, the duty of due regard would necessarily involve consultations on the basis of good faith and require that the avenues for such consultations are exhausted. Such consultations should encompass a conscious balancing of rights and interests, including extensive concern regarding the other party's reaction, suggestions of compromise and willingness to offer assurances, and an understanding of the other party's concern in connection with any proposed activities. We note that such consultations is already provided for in Article 9 of the 1967 OST, but merely as an optional tool. While it is not a legally binding obligation, we believe that responsible space behavior demands that the threshold for conducting such consultations should be kept at the minimum. We therefore support suggestions earlier today from the ROK delegation and also recent previous suggestions from Germany in their written submissions in other fora to explore possibilities to actualize such consultations, including, among others, through the designations of national focal points to facilitate ease and coordination. Lastly, the duty of jury guard imposes due diligence obligation upon states over the conduct of their nationals and vessels with a view to ensuring that their conduct do not prejudice the rights and interests of other states. Thank you.